It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I can't hardly believe it's Friday. In fact, I had to look just one more time to make sure, man, is it really Friday already? This week has just flown by, which is normally a pretty good sign. And just being a couple of weeks away from planting here on our farm, at least corn and soybean planting. Yeah, the days fly by really fast. We've got a winter storm heading through this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and that'll keep us out of the field for a little bit, which is probably a good thing for us, so we don't jump the gun on things, but we'll be happy to take any moisture we can get. Well, on today's show, if you haven't been around for a Farmer Friday before, we just take your calls and questions throughout the show. So our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD, or you can email us radio@agphd.com. We'll dive into the Ag PhD mailbag here. We've got a bunch of emails that have come in, and want to get started into some of those. In fact, I think there's so many, there's no way I'm getting through them all today, so we're definitely going to have at least one full mailbag show next week. So let's dive into the mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
I love getting pictures of different weeds out there, especially if we can help you identify them and get them under control. Got it. Couple of pictures here that came in from Steven, and he said, hey guys, I need some help identifying this weed. I get a little bit of it in the spring, but by September 1st, all my cornfields across a 15-mile radius have a nice mat of this between the rows. Well, Steven, whenever you get something that's popping up in the fall, it's a winter annual weed a lot of times, and this weed is a pretty common one. It's chickweed. So common chickweed, and we do have some options for getting it under control. In fact, the best time that we found is fall to get it under control. If you didn't get that done last fall, which judging by this picture, it looks like you didn't, there are options in the spring too. So my choice would be using 1 to 2 pints per acre of dicamba in the fall, wipe the stuff out, start clean in the spring. Verdict is my favorite. You mentioned corn here, so I'm just going with corn recommendations. I like Verdict. I'd use 10 to 15 ounces of that ahead of corn. I would throw in some Roundup with it and maybe even some dicamba for additional burn. And wow, you're going to have lights out, clean cornfields. No more common chickweed hurting things in your fields. You know, the one thing about it too, like you mentioned, it really makes a nice mat. It is tremendous ground cover, and I do know some farmers that say, well, I'm just going to leave that ground cover out there, and I'll just kill it off in the early spring. You can certainly do that if you would like. I don't like having weeds out there. I prefer to have my own cover that I select what it's going to be, but that does cost money to do. So anyway, get it under control with dicamba in the fall or Verdict Roundup dicamba in the spring. All right, next one comes in from Jackson. And Jackson said, all right, guys, questions here regarding foliar feeding. With the drought taking a toll on subsurface moisture and impacting the corn plant's ability to uptake certain nutrients, would it be wiser to use foliar feeding in situations like that? And then when would be the best time to foliar feed? Hey, thanks, Jackson. We appreciate the question. You know, with the foliar feeding, getting rainfall really helps. And a lot of times, we try to target, hey, it rained yesterday and we could get into the field by the end of today and get a foliar applied. That would be a great time because the leaves, everything's open on them and they're much more receptive to taking things in. When it's dry, a lot of times those leaves get this thick wax and they close up the stomata and it's just tough to drive anything through the plant. So for me, in a drought, foliar feeding is tough to do, but if you do happen to get a time where you get a little shot of rain or something, or maybe even you have a heavy dew and cooler days, those would be the times that I would try to do that. What we've tried to do is a little bit of the opposite. We've tried to build up our soil levels so we have a very good concentration of nutrients in our soil, and then we're trying to build fertility deeper down rather than just the top few inches. If we can build up the top foot of soil, now we know down deeper the roots are going to be reaching areas where there's still a little bit of moisture and we've got a high concentration of nutrients and we can still drive them into the plant. So that's been the strategy we've used, but if we are going to foliar feed, we're targeting days where those leaf stomata may be open. Thanks for the question. We appreciate that. Got this one in from Double D, who says, how does crop rotation help in weed control? Could you please explain this? Well, I'll give you a real easy example. Let's just say we're talking about corn and soybeans, and that's your two crops that you're rotating between. So corn is a grass crop, soybeans are a broadleaf crop, and so it's easier to kill broadleaf weeds in a corn crop because herbicides that we spray are going to be selective. So they'll kill broadleaves but won't kill specifically the grass corn, but probably won't kill other grass species too. So we can target those broadleaf weeds in our corn rotation, knock them out, and then we get into our soybean rotation. Then we don't have as many of those broadleaf weeds left. So it's easier for us to clean the last few of them up. And then on the other side, let's just say grass is our concern. And let's just say it's woolly cup grass. Well, in soybeans, we can kill that easily. We've got lots of different herbicides that'll knock grasses out, but won't hurt a broadleaf crop like soybeans. So we can use these powerful herbicides there, knock out the woolly cup grass, and by the time we come back with our corn crop, there's not very much of it left. So that's what we're trying to do with rotation to get things out of our field. The other thing now that farmers have been using more commonly lately has also been cover crops. And as soon as they're harvesting one crop, or maybe even before, getting a cover crop established. So like, for example, cereal rye. So get a thick stand of cereal rye and it chokes out all the other weeds. It doesn't let sunlight hit the dirt. And so if the weeds, new little weeds that want to come don't have any sunlight, they can't grow. And so farmers are utilizing cover crops in that way to try to stop stuff too, and that can also help your crop rotation. Hey, great question. Really appreciate that. And look forward to more questions coming up here. It is Farmer Friday, so if you would like to discuss an issue or a question, it's 844-44-AG-PHD.
Because the challenges you face are getting bigger every year, BASF is committed to helping with more than boots on the ground. We're committed to boots in the mud, boots on the steps of your truck, your tractor, your combine, the linoleum tiles of your coffee shop, the concrete of your co-op, the gravel in your shed. So we can listen, learn firsthand, help right now to ensure success. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Want a product that will give you nitrogen all season long? Then you want to try Envita. Envita gets directly into the cells of the plants, and it's easy to apply, foliar or in furrow. Envita provides the flexibility you need for your farm practices. Whether you want to reduce your nitrogen and maintain yield, or maintain your nitrogen and increase yield, Envita fits your farm. Envita SC formulation is OMRI registered. To learn more about Envita, visit azotic.com. That's AZOTIC.com.
For the smallest investment with the biggest impact on yield, upgrade your planter with Germinator closing wheels from Farm Shop MFG. To see how we stack up against the competition at a fraction of the cost, call us at 712-520-6051.
Get more durability for less downtime with Soil Warrior Strip Tillage from Environmental Tillage Systems. Improve fertilizer efficiency and reduce passes and fuel usage. Now that's ROI. Learn more about ETS at soilwarrior.com.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from agronomy manager Nate Honeck.
We've seen tremendous weed control that was sprayed in dry, hot conditions with very little rain within 2 weeks after application. Very easy application. Definitely tank mix well with the various products we used.
Visit valent.com/maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
With my microphone. It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. I'm not unsure that it's Farmer Friday. I was just unsure why I couldn't hear myself in my headset here. But it's working just fine. If you've got a question you want to talk about, or if you've got just something going on in your farm you'd like to discuss, it's 844 44AgPhD, or you can email us, radio@agphd.com. Got our friend Tony Wendler on right now with Farm Shop MFG. Tony, we got some snow coming in. Sounds like you're going to get hit too.
I was just telling Janelle, I will take my moisture, whether it floats down or falls down. I just like moisture in the ground.
Yeah, we need some of that for sure.
Yeah, either way, I'm going to deal with it. Although they went from we're really going to get hit to it was moving north or south and we were going to get fractions to maybe now we're in the middle right now again.
Yeah, they don't know exactly what we're going to get, which is normal for weather folks, especially when it's this far out. It's still more than 24 hours away, so it's all subject to change. But, of course, we're pretty antsy about planting early. So if we get wet out in the fields, what's your threshold for it's dry enough for 90% of the fields ready to go, 10% may be questionable? How do you deal with those things? We get a lot of questions about this, especially from young farmers of, okay, how do I know? My parents seem to kind of have a good feel for this, but I'm looking for a guide.
If you're going to be aggressive at a bean field. It seems like there's a lot more forgiveness with beans. If you are going out there and it's a little bit on the tacky side and you've got some problems. The next thing is, hey, if we could just get pushed and it's the middle of May, we're getting pushed past Mother's Day and you've got stuff to plant. That's when you really start making the tough decisions. And it gets to a point sometimes seed in the ground is better than seed in the bag. And you've got to plan on the conditions to get it done. I think back to 2019, which is the worst one for me for a while in my memory, that it seemed like we got 5 minutes to plant every week, and that was about it. And made some decisions that the soil wasn't quite perfect. The crops worked out, and the most aggressive I got with was beans that I mudded in one field of beans and middle June. Needed to do something, and I thought it was awesome with our closing wheels. We did a good job of pinching that furrow shut, getting the air out, and that's one thing you need to have your planter set up with the right equipment to handle, whether you've got dry conditions, normal or ideal, or you're in wet conditions, to get the seed soil contact and get the air out of the bottom of that furrow around the seed. So,
yeah, I think it's really important too, as you get out in fields, to do a lot of digging and just see what's stuff like, and rather than just looking from the road and saying, well, boy, it's really grayed off on the top. It looks like it's going to be just fine. Get out in there, walk around a little bit, do some digging, see for yourself what it's like and get a good feel for how you're going to survive out there. Are you going to sink in? Are you going to create a muddy mess? When you run the planter, you got to spend a lot of time behind it doing some digging too. Am I compacting sidewalls? Am I running into other issues that I didn't anticipate? Yeah, there's just a lot of good stuff there that you got to look at.
Hey, Darren, one of the things on digging that too often people, you might pull into a field so you focus, you're close to the end rows, or more typical, they're doing in what's the normal soil in the field, the common. You need to go out there and be paying attention to the draws and up over the hills, the stuff that it makes up a portion of your field, but it's not the concentration, because that's where you could come up short. If you're not closing it through the draw, or maybe it's dried out over the top of a hill, and you're not getting that, you don't have correct down pressure to close that. Pay attention to those marginal areas also. Do not just focus on the main portion of the field. You got to make sure we do a good job in the whole thing. That becomes important.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I actually bought, I bought a stand to go out and video myself digging. In the past, I've been trying to prop phones up. But I'm hopefully going to have that here before we get too far into planting. I see a lot of farmers dig in ways that are difficult to assess. They typically dig down, and we've talked about it. I like to take a shovel, dig a hole in the row, and I use that as a way to get rid of dirt. I know you want to cut across so you can see the layout. Either way, we can see the architecture of what's left, and hopefully we don't see an architecture of that furrow. We just see soil squeezed together, and I like to dig a dib big enough. I call it a ditch down the row. So I'm wider than the furrow, and I'm deeper than the furrow, and I want to find seeds just hanging in the soil there, just floating in that zone where I wanted it. And at that point, I can see what is left. If I've destroyed the old V furrow system, and it's all molded together, and then get out of the tractor, I always get out in my poor ground and look and make sure I'm doing it right there too.
Yeah, it's always good to see, you know, those spots out in your field that vary, and that'll give you a great idea as you're going across those different conditions, how everything is performing. Hey, Tony, we got to let you run, but really appreciate hearing from you. Look forward to seeing those videos. Again, you can check out more of what Tony's up to at farmshopmfg.com. Tony, thank you.
Have a great weekend. Thanks. Bye.
You as well. Got Jeremy Jack on with us right now down in Mississippi. Raises crops down there, gets out, looks at fields a lot, and maybe even does more digging than Tony. I'm not sure. Jeremy, what'd you think of that?
We do a lot of digging, that's for sure. As I told someone, and it's always different digging. I make the joke, we have tractors that have IVTs, and we have articulating tractors, and you jump from one to another, you got to retrain yourself every time. Even when you're planting soybeans, rice, and corn all at the same time, you go from one field thinking that you're the world's best seed digger to you forgot how it works.
That's right. Well, yeah, you get to raise a lot of different crops. And I had a question come in earlier, and it was corn, soybean focused. And I thought, man, that's pretty easy. We can use the same planting equipment and go from one to the next. But you start talking about cotton and peanuts and rice and then wheat and different crops. Man, you got a lot of different tools you got to know how to do.
You do, you do. And one thing that's nice for us is we kind of, a friend of mine makes the joke that we farm 11 months out of the year, and we really kind of almost do. But we get to plant, you know, normally, you know, in March or early February, we'll start planting our corn. And usually by the end of March, 1st of April, we're done with the corn. And then we take that same planter, that same man, and the same tractor, and jump right into soybeans. And then in April, we plant all of our soybeans, and then about mid to late April, we're hopefully finishing up with that. And late April, early May, we take that same setup and we go plant our cotton. And you just use that same tool for so much longer of a season than you do if you only have one crop. Same problem, same system. When we, of course, we'll plant our rice, we use a drill for it, and we'll plant it in March and April, but that's a separate machine and separate drill that we use for it. But when we get to harvest, we'll harvest our corn, then we'll harvest our rice, then we'll harvest our soybeans, and then we'll harvest our cotton. And it pretty much guarantees that we don't make it to a single football game all fall off.
Well, it keeps you out of trouble, too. That's what my dad always told me. He goes, man, think about how much less money you're going to spend, Darren, if you're just working all the time. You have no time to shop and no time to go look at anything. So all you have to do is just focus on your crop. So there are some positives there, Jeremy. And, you know, sometimes the football season doesn't do very well for at least some of the teams here locally. And so that gives us another little spot to get our mind focused on something a little bit more positive, like our crops. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I know you guys are super busy down there already, so good luck and stay safe.
All right, y'all have a good day.
You bet. You too. It's Farmer Friday on Ag PhD Radio. If you'd like to call in with a question or just discuss what's happening on your farm, it's 844-442-4743. That's 844-44-AG-PHD.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Farming comes with trade-offs. An extra pass means dinner in the cab. An early morning becomes a late night. Unnecessary restrictions turn into headaches. But when you make Enlist herbicides the foundation of your herbicide program, the trade-offs will be in your favor. Effective weed control that's ready to work when you are. Flexible tank mix options and neighbor-friendly applications. All without the need to jump through hoops. See what you'll gain with America's most trusted herbicide system protecting your Enlist E3 soybean fields at Enlist.com.
If you look close enough, you can see the hidden potential within your fields. That's why an agro-liquid nutrition plan starts with the crop and identifies the precise combination of primary nutrients while focusing on the support of secondary and micronutrients. So every nutrient is working in harmony for your crop to reach its full potential. Maximizing growth while offering lower use rates. Apply less, expect more? Precisely. Find an agro-liquid dealer at agroliquid.com.
On your farm, you spend thousands on fertilizer every season. But how do you know if any nutrient you apply is paying for itself? Build a fertility plan like never before with Verify. With Verify's soil point to yield analysis, you can automatically see the connection between your soil test and yield data to see which fertilizer dollars will make you money and which won't. Go to verify.com to get started today. That's VRAFY.com.
Nothing but net. Win your soybean season with the fast knockdown and lasting broad-spectrum control of Elevest Insect Control from FMC. Take on armyworms, stink bugs, soybean loopers, and more with the maximized ratio of premier active ingredients for better overall control of more than 40 labeled pests. Visit your FMC retailer or elevest.ag.fmc.com to up your game this season. Always read and follow all label directions.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Thanks for listening to Ag PhD Radio today. It's Farmer Friday. That means the day's all for you. Whatever you'd like to talk about here, if you've got an ag-related question for your farm or just want to talk about what you're doing on the farm, today's a great day to do it. It's 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Ron over in Wisconsin with us right now. How you doing, Ron?
Pretty good, sir. How are you doing?
Good. You guys all ready with planters and everything, ready to go for the spring?
No, not quite. We're waiting for it to warm up just a little bit.
Well, it's going to get colder, I think, before it gets warmer, unfortunately. Are you guys supposed to catch the snow or rain coming through here, too?
We caught 2 inches last night. That's the first amount of moisture I've had in over a month and a half.
Wow. Yeah, it's been the same thing here. There just hasn't been much at all.
Madison's above normal precipitation, and we miss every storm.
Huh. So you finished off last fall really dry too?
To go chisel plowing, and we are so dry, it's not even funny.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is not good. I know they're talking there could be significant precipitation in this front coming through the Dakotas and Minnesota heading your way. So hopefully we leave a little bit in there for you too.
I would like to catch some, yes.
So what happens when you get that dry? Do you change up things? Do you wait to plant? I mean, is there any adjustment that you make, or do you just kind of go with the normal program and hope and pray it rains?
I had planted some wheat last year, and my goal was to, you know, field cultivate it and plant into that. And I believe I'm going to no-till into the wheat stubble, which I'm not a no-till person, but I am going to try it this year just to try to conserve some moisture.
Sure, sure. What about fertility? Did you change anything on fertility for this season being so dry?
Well, had I have known we were going to stay this ugly, I wish I could have had all my potash and stuff on last fall before I chisel plowed and V-ripped everything. So I've tried to got it in the ground a little deeper.
Yeah, I had a question that came in I'm going to get to in a little bit, and the guy has irrigation, and he was worried about stuff. Man, if you got irrigation, I wouldn't be worried at all, but we're mostly dryland farmers up here in the north. That's a whole different story. I agree with you. I'd love to do it and till it in if I could, but by the same token, just like what you were saying with that wheat, I don't want to do any extra tillage. I don't have to when we're this dry.
Right. I believe it was in February. It was so beautiful, no frost. We were dry. I went on some low ground and I chisel plowed it, thinking, "Wow, I'm really, I'm talking on wet ground you never normally are spinning on in the summertime." And we just buried the chisel plow and said, "Okay, we're really breaking some stuff up." It's like flour, and it has me so scared now. I don't know what to do with it. I can't go disc it shut because I buried all the stalks. and I'd leave barren ground, it'd just blow like a son of a gun. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's tough. And you say, oh, man, we should have a cover crop. Well, how are you going to get it started when it doesn't rain?
Right. And I had cover crops last fall, and they didn't come up because we were that dry.
Yep, I was going to say we kind of ran into some of the same stuff. We had a pretty poor stand, and then unfortunately we had one night that it got really cold, and what did come up and was really looking pretty nice got all frosted off and killed. So, and then we had another month and a half of fall the way it turned out last year. So what a strange few years that we've had. We're in year three. Well, actually, we've had three full years of drought here. How about over in your country? Like you mentioned, guys down in Madison, they aren't talking that way. They've caught it, but hopefully that rain comes a little further north soon.
Well, Madison seems to be like the, I don't want to say the edge of it, because it gets like another 30 miles north of Madison yet, and then that's the cutoff line. So it's terrible close. That's the scary part. But
yeah, always something different. And we get questions from non-farmers. Well, don't you kind of just do the same plan every year? You're going to plant corn? Well, no. You get situations like Ron's talking about here in Wisconsin of, yes, if we got moisture, we can do things like we normally would. And then it's these years where you either get way too much moisture or not even close that you got to make some big adjustments or you're going to be in trouble in a hurry. Well, Ron, good luck to you guys. Hopefully you guys catch a nice shot of rain here. That'll sure help things and get everything at least to settle down, allow you to get a crop started.
One question about Pivot BioProven 40.
Okay.
Last year was my first year using it.
Okay.
And we were like a million miles short of water. I like the corn coming out of the ground. It looked real good. I'm just curious. I don't really know. I don't know if it's a fair test. Have you seen results over the years with it or?
Well, We did some testing the last 2 years. We've done some pretty extensive testing on all of these nitrogen supplying natural products, and we found that all of them do provide some nitrogen. Now I'm not saying it's 40 pounds or 25 pounds or anything like that, but what we did is we tried a 100% rate of nitrogen, and we tried a 0% rate of nitrogen, and then we tried a 50 to 60% rate of nitrogen in the middle. Well, we saw gains when we used zero nitrogen and when we used a 50 to 60% rate. When we used 100% rate of nitrogen, so nitrogen wasn't a yield-limiting factor, of course, we didn't see any results. So, yeah, if you're going to say, well, hey, it's a drought year, I'd normally get 200 bushel corn, but I'm only going to put on nitrogen for 150 bushel corn because we probably are going to have a short year, but I'm going to also put something like this on there to try and boost the nitrogen out there just a little bit, and you do happen to get 175 or 180 bushel corn, could this be the difference? Sure, it absolutely could. But if nitrogen is not a yield-limiting factor, these products are not worth it. We've seen better gains out of these nitrogen products on soybeans than we have on corn. When we get past 60 bushel beans, we're running short of N in a lot of cases, and these kinds of products have actually paid. So I guess, yeah, I just think you have a drought year, about anything you test is probably going to fail. But on a year that you get a little bit of moisture, maybe you'll see the difference.
Okay.
I just wish they weren't so expensive. I think if they were $5 or maybe $10 an acre, then I think these kind of products would catch a lot more steam. When they're $20 or $30 an acre, that's tough to make that pay.
Right. And then they want you to plant all your acres to it. And you're like, no, I want to try some. And it's.
Yes.
That's, I don't understand that either. But yep. Okay, sir.
All right. Well, thanks, Ron.
Well, thank you.
You bet. Set out to Montana, another place where it's normally pretty dry. And we've got Greg with us. How you doing, Greg?
Good. Doing fine. Yeah, no, we got winter here. We've had a beautiful winter up until had that cold snap, I think like everybody had for 7 to 10 days, and then she got up. A week ago it was 60 here, and now we're in the single digits and in the morning and mid-20s. Supposed to be cool up through the next 10 days anyway. So, but yeah, we thought we'd be in the field early.
Yes. Yes. How quickly that has changed. We're in the same boat too. We've just been talking about, man, we're going to be out there so early this year. And of course here comes winter again, but that's okay. Right. We can use the moisture.
Yep. No, well, we definitely need the moisture. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. So no, we're planting spring wheat and durum, canola and safflower this year. Definitely putting in less spring wheat.
Okay.
But anyway, no, that's where we're at. Just trying to figure out what with the oil crops, what chemicals we had on last year and the residuals. So, but anyway.
Yeah, you're right. Getting crop rotation switches made can be a little tricky sometimes if there's anything right. that they're sensitive to. And of course, you mentioned some crops there, like safflowers for sure are sensitive to some things that you may have used, and canola too.
Yeah. I know I visited with you, you and Darren, we got Roundup resistant kochia.
Okay.
And we've had such a kochia and thistle problems, and I know I wrote it down, but I can't find it on what to do. We had winter wheat last year and sprayed it, and I know you were telling me there were different growing points on the kochia.
Kochia, sure. Hey, Greg, we're up against a break here. Let me catch you. Just hang on with us. We'll get you right after the break here. We'll talk about Roundup Ready kochia. We'll be right back.
Maverick Corn Herbicide from Valent USA has proven to be a key part of growers' success in fighting problematic weeds. But don't take it from us. Take it from farmer Rob Schaefer.
Residuals have become a big part of our chemical programs with trying to battle water hemp, and also mare's tail is our big one. It's done a real good job of controlling those. You don't have to, you know, put a bunch of gallons in your sprayer, cover a lot of acres that way.
Visit Valent.com/Maverick to learn more about Maverick Corn Herbicide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Higher yield potential starts with the season-long systemic disease protection of Xyway brand fungicides from FMC. Xyway brand fungicides protect corn crops from key foliar diseases and support physiological benefits that help develop healthier, higher yielding corn for a difference you'll appreciate at harvest. Visit your FMC retailer for an at-plant advantage. Always read and follow all label directions.
Morton Buildings has served the American farmer for more than 120 years. From manufacturing our own building components to constructing your building, Morton takes pride in being the industry leader in post-frame construction by providing a quality building and exceptional customer service. A Morton is built to last for generations. To get started on your next project, please visit MortonBuildings.com.
Your farm's greatest challenge is making sure your crop has enough fertility to reach its yield goals. But how do you know if you're applying too much of any one nutrient? Fine-tune your fertility plan with Verify. Your combine collects hundreds of yield data points per acre. Verify takes that data and instantly generates variable rate fertility maps based on crop removal, so you can be confident you're not over-applying. Get started today at verify.com. That's VRAFY.com.
It's smart to make the right agronomic choices, and it's even smarter to get rewarded for them. With the Bayer Plus Rewards program, you earn cash back on seed, herbicides, and other eligible products. And it keeps getting smarter, because now you can earn an additional 10% bonus when you send your redemption check to your retailer. To learn more, contact your retailer today. Protect your yields and get the most from your land with Bayer Plus Rewards. Visit mybayerplus.com and see program terms and conditions for full details.
Farmer Amaranth. 4 counts of yield theft, resistance to groups 2, 4, 9.
You ain't got nothing on me, man.
We've been surveilling you. And now we've got Tough 5EC, a tank mix partner that'll make sure you and your gang of resistant weeds never see the daylight again.
Crack down on repeat offenders. Add Tough 5EC to your post-emergence tank mix. Learn more at toughonweeds.com. Always read and follow label directions. Tough is a registered trademark of Belsham Crop Protection.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. It's Farmer Friday, so we're taking your calls and questions throughout the show at 844-44-AG-PHD. And just before the break, we're talking to Greg out in Montana of about kochia that Roundup doesn't kill anymore. And you know, it took us this far into the show, Greg, before we got into Roundup resistant kochia. Man, we talk about it almost every day. This thing is tough. It's terrible.
It is. It's really, and well, this will be my 48th year, but I think since we got rid of Banville and LV6, yeah. I think now we're using 3 and 4 way tank mixes. I like to spray in the morning, look at them at noon, they're dead.
So, yes.
Anyway, we go down in the spring with 2 ounces of Sharpen and 32 of Roundup. But what you tell me what I should be doing.
Well, post-emergent wheat, we really like, it used to be always wide match because you had 2 ingredients there that one of them's awesome on kochia, the other one's really good on thistle. So wide match was kind of our go-to. And then the new wide R match has a 2,4-D replacement product in it in addition to those, and that's been really nice. So wide R match.
Okay.
Been really good on kochia. And then, of course, you get into safflower, you got to start with something like Spartan Charge Down plus Sonalan or Trifluralin or something. And then in canola, really all you have is Trifluralin or Sonalan Down, which are okay. But then you got to come back with Roundup, Liberty, or something in crop, I guess, depending on what your canola is tolerant to.
Well, that's why we're putting in more canola, as the Liberty really does a beautiful job.
Awesome.
Really cleaning that up. And so that's where we've been having that in a rotation. On the safflower, other than what was the other one, Spartan?
Well, Spartan Charge, I like that. You can use Sonalan or Trifluralin there.
And we've been using that.
And you could also use Metolachlor or Dual, but I guess you got a few different modes of action. So you have one of those yellows, you've got Spartan, which would be a PPO, and you've got Metolachlor, which would be a group 15. So got several different things there. If grass is more of a concern, the Sonalan and Trifluralin are probably the best ones there, but Metolachlor is not bad either.
Yeah. No, it's not the grass. We can take care of that. To think years ago, wild oats were our biggest problem.
Yes, yes.
Don't see it anymore, but. Anyway, no, that's, well, I'll try that. I'll definitely try that on the spring wheat.
You bet.
I'll have to look into those. So thanks, Darren.
You bet.
Guys,
thanks
have
a lot.
Easter.
Yeah, you as well. Happy Easter, Greg. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, lots of different things there with crop rotation. You know, when you introduce those oilseed crops, like Greg was talking about, in addition to the small grains, you've got a chance to knock out some of those tough weeds with different herbicides. Like he was mentioning Liberty Link canola, that has been really good. I find that interesting. You know, our guys in North Dakota that are raising soybeans, they say, man, I got to do Xtend Flex so I have the dicamba that I can use. But the guys that are raising Enlist beans are actually doing pretty good with high rates of Liberty, and especially when they're tank mixing in the Enlist One chemistry also. All right. Dive back into the Ag PhD mailbag here and had an interesting question. This comes in from Roland, and he said, guys, love listening to your show. I'm learning a bunch. I'm delivering mail and listening to podcasts about 5 hours a day. Just wondering, is there a technical source of agronomy that I could get to take and hopefully pass the certified crop advisor exam? Hey, thanks, Roland. We appreciate you listening to the show, and that's awesome. Working your day job and trying to get better so you can do another job, hopefully an even better paying job for you down the road here too. If you go to certifiedcropadvisor.org, they've got a tab you can click on with exams, and then underneath that exams tab, there's study materials and other resources that you can utilize. They do have a study guide and that kind of thing, and both Brad and I have read through that and found it to be very helpful. Also, many of the local extension agents and land-grant universities have got resources, too. If you reach out to them, you don't say what state you're from here, but like in our state, our land-grant university is South Dakota State University, and if we talk to somebody at SDSU or talk to one of our county extension agents, they've got additional resources that they would recommend, too. So I know when I clicked on Certified Crop Advisor website just to see what was up there now, our state actually has a page that you can find with different things you may study. So maybe just type in your state and Certified Crop Advisor and see what resources pop up too. But good luck to you. Yeah, there's a lot of different types of information on that Certified Crop Advisor test, so you got to be fairly well-rounded to take it. But it's not that hard. It's absolutely passable. And if you're studying and working as hard as it sounds like you are, I don't think you'll have any trouble doing that. Hey, thanks, Roland, and good luck. Get this one from Daniel. He said, hey, guys, I'm running a 900-acre farm, mostly cereals and some beef cattle in the United Kingdom with my wife and two young children. I love agriculture, but I don't see a great future farming in this country. I'm really excited and interested in moving to the U.S. or to Canada to work in agriculture with my family. I'm just looking to take the first steps. Thought you might be able to help with contacts or advice. Hey, thanks, Dan. Haven't really done much with this before, so I don't have a lot of firsthand experience on this. But if I was in your shoes, what would I do? I would figure out, okay, where are some areas in the U.S. or in Canada that would be similar to where I'm at? Or I'd be able to do a lot of the same things and my knowledge would immediately transfer. But also, if you're going to be moving, this would be your chance to say, you know what, where do I really, really want to be? Like, for example, I've got a friend of mine that moved to Texas and moved when the kids were fairly young, like you're doing. And his idea was, where's some place that I would like to retire? And he didn't want to retire in the Great White North here where it snows and gets awful cold. And he thought, if I move now, this might be a better chance for everyone in my family to get established down here, and this will just be where we're at. So that worked out good for him. So it would be a chance if he said, you know, I'd really rather be somewhere that the climate's more temperate or something like that. You sure could do that in the move. Either way, I would travel to the U.S. and Canada and visit areas that you think you might be interested in farming. And at that point, you could connect with farm organizations from those areas you'd consider living in, and they can even hook you up with farmers who would work with you. Like, for example, in our state of South Dakota, there are some parts of our state, rural parts of the state, where there aren't a lot of people in that county that are coming back to farm. And so farmers get older, they're looking for, well, man, who's going to farm my ground when I'm done? And there are a lot of folks that might be interested in something like this of, hey, I got this younger family coming over that would really like to get established, and maybe they could rent the farm for a while and eventually someday own the land. I guess along those lines, wherever you end up going, I'd obviously pursue citizenship and try to go down that route. And like in our country, then you can own some farmland and get started and get in all the programs, organizations, schools, whatever you'd want to be in. So that's where I'd start. I'd do a little travel first and see what areas you're interested in. Do a little research on those areas to see, okay, where can I do the same crops that I'm doing and that kind of thing, and go from there. But yeah, wish you luck. I think that's a great idea, looking long term and seeing what would be the best to set your kids up for as well. I get this question that came in from WRN, who said, we switched from plowing to cultivators, subsoilers, and high-speed discs. Will that help us create more organic matter and make our soil more cushiony? Well, there's a lot of things that can be done to help improve soil organic matter, and reducing tillage or switching to no-till, those would be at the top of the list. But using manure or compost, those are good things. Planting crops with lots of roots, those are good things. A lot of the biologicals or natural type products can help enhance root growth. There are just a number of different steps you can take. So just everything you're going to do for the field, just think, is this going to help me or hurt me in my battle to increase organic matter? Thanks for the question. We'll be right back with more of your calls and questions after this.
Are you ready for better efficiency, more productivity, higher yields? Then you're ready for John Deere Precision Technology, which starts with three core pieces. First, a G5 display gives fast views of your work and a window to future technology. A Starfire receiver gives you sub-inch repeatable accuracy without an RTK base station. And a JD Link modem gives you a live view of your entire operation. Get precise and talk with your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/base.
The hard-working, independent spirit of rural America can often be isolating. It's not often discussed, but mental health issues are real. Now's the time to lead by example, talk openly, and show that a strong mind is just as important as a strong body. FMC is proud to be working toward ending the misconceptions around mental health. Through awareness, guidance, and action, together we can uproot the stigma.
Your farm data platform might let you manage your fertilizer plan by helping you set sample points, determine management zones, or create fertilizer recommendations. With Verify, you can do all that. But what Verify does that no one else can is take yield data straight from your combine, correlate this info to soil test points, and immediately generate variable rate fertilizer maps based on your nutritional goals. Whether you want to build soil levels, balance your field for uniform nutrition, or maintain fertility levels by simply applying what you removed at harvest. And with full integration with John Deere Operations Center, Verify can send recommendations directly to application equipment, no matter the color. Sign up for your Verify account today at verify.com and keep your farm moving. That's VRAFY.com.
My mom's got a new Case IH tractor, and it can do it all. Bale hay all day. See in the dark with its powerful LED lights. Hook up all the implements. Shift like a race car, steer with ease. And it can also cool my juice box. Yeah, her Case IH tractor can do everything she needs it to.
Looking for a tractor that can do it all? Check out caseih.com.
What's the difference between John, who bought Enlist One herbicide and Instinct Next Gen nitrogen stabilizer, and Tom, who bought Enlist One and Instinct Next Gen and used True Choice? Only about $5,000 extra in Tom's pocket? Choose True Choice and get up to 10% back. It's really as simple as that. Start saving at Corteva.com/save more.
To Ag PhD Radio on a Farmer Friday, and our phone lines are open at 844-44-AG-PHD. Got Tony on with us right now down in Missouri. How you doing, Tony?
Doing well. 78 degrees today.
Oh, boy. You're lucky. Ours is not quite so rosy up here. We got a nice cold front coming through.
It's supposed to be here tomorrow, so a little cooler.
Sure. All right. You want to talk fertilizer a little bit? What's going on?
I'm just curious why the fertilizer we've been using our whole lives, farming lives, now it's synthetic. Why? Why is it called that now? it's made, it's mined, it's manufactured from natural products. Why is it synthetic? Why is it called that?
I agree with you, Tony. I think it's ridiculous to say, oh, here's organic fertilizer. Well, what is organic fertilizer? Manure, compost, those kinds of things. Why do we call something synthetic? The words that are chosen a lot of times are chosen for a purpose, and it's chosen because they want to make it look negative and they want to regulate it. That's my opinion.
There you go.
And
yes.
I don't understand that. Why do we have to scare people? That doesn't make sense to me because, like you say, a lot of these fertilizers that we're using, we're mining them from the soil. Where did that come from? Is that not natural? I just don't understand that. It's crazy.
It just makes me mad to for people to put out false advertisement to feed the public with false advertisement to make the farmer the bad guy again. You know that people that before I retired, you're using all of our corn for ethanol. No, they're taking out something to make a better product, corn syrup, ethanol, and then giving it back to us to you know, I feed corn syrup to my cattle in a better product than the corn itself. So what is wrong with that? You're not going to use corn for food anyhow.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there about just about everything. And the other thing that drives me nuts, Tony, is there just aren't that many of us farmers. I mean, we're less than 1% of the population. And even so, we get in these battles against each other. I don't care if someone wants to farm organic or if they want to farm, however you want to call it, conventionally, or if they want to farm regeneratively. I don't care. It makes no difference to me. They're just farmers. They're just farming. I'm okay with that. I don't care if a farmer wants to raise livestock or if he wants to do crops or if he wants to do both. I don't care. He's a farmer. I think that's fine. But then we get, well, I'm going to be organic. And if I use these words, it'll scare people. And then they'll want to buy my organic product. Or I want to farm conventionally and I can use these words and it'll scare people about organic production. I'm not competing against other farmers. I don't understand that. I think we all need to work together on this a lot better. I think we're doing ourselves a disservice sometimes having too many different organizations with too many different goals, and we just need to unite as farmers. There's not many of us, and we're going to get regulated out of business if we're not careful.
Amen, brother. So that's my word of the day. So thank you. You know, I'm spreading fertilizer today, and I just sometimes I get teed off about stuff, and I got to talk. So thank you.
Nope, I agree too. Thank you, Tony. We really appreciate it. Good luck to you guys.
Thank you.
I had a question come in from Greg, and he said, you know, he's got some resistant weeds. He said, I've got resistant wild oats in wheat up in northeastern North Dakota. Just wondering if you have any feedback. Currently, we do not use Apri in our wheat as our weed control is good other than the wild oats problem. We typically follow wheat with soybeans in our crop rotation, and he sent in a sample. So this is kind of a good thing, too. A lot of times we think, oh, the weeds are resistant to something. There is testing that can be done, and he sent in tests to North Dakota State University, and they used a susceptible check of these weeds to a bunch of different chemistries, and mainly group ones and group twos. And then he tried three different samples that Greg had sent in, and sure enough, they were resistant to a lot of different chemistries out there. So, yeah, if you're group one and group two resistant wild oats, the next best choice here's two choices. One, Roundup Burndown. If it works out that the wild oats are up and you can spray them with Roundup, that works great. I'm guessing that's probably not the case for you, that you're planting before those wild oats are up. In that case, the next best thing would be Zidua, or the same active ingredient is found in Anthem Flex. So you got two products, the same active ingredient, although Anthem Flex, I guess, adds in AIM as well. But it's that Zidua component in there that really does a nice job on wild oats. The trick with that one, you have to use it kind of a delayed pre. They'd like to see 80% of the wheat have a half-inch shoot or so, then get it put on. So you want to make sure that wheat's all germinated and started, then put on the Zidua. And it works really pretty well. We've seen good results on Italian rye. It's a group 15 herbicide. So if you had corn in the rotation ever, a lot of those corn pre-emerge herbicides for grass control have got a group 15 in there, and some of them would have this exact same one. But anyway, that's what I would do. I would use either Zidua or Anthem Flex. And then if you need a burn down, Roundup does a nice job killing those weeds too. Hey, thanks, Greg. Good luck to you. Resistant weeds, no fun. No fun at all. And wild oats can certainly rob a lot of yield. All right, this one comes in from Seth. He said you guys were talking about no-till versus strip-till. I tried about every type of tillage possible and almost lost the farm doing it. But his thing is the only thing that really works is a good deep ripper occasionally in our soils. You know, everywhere's a little bit different, Seth, and with different elevations. You know, some people have got really steep hills and those kinds of things. They've got to go one way or the other. If you've got flatter ground, you got a lot of choices of different things you can make work. So thanks for the input. Really appreciate that. Get this one in from Mitch. He said, hey guys, I'm wondering if it's allowable to spray Tenacity after I seed in this prairie mix of grasses around a building site. I would spread the seed with a spreader, harrow it in, then spray it. Some seeds would be covered. Others might be laying on the soil surface. I'm just curious, will Tenacity impact my germination or not? Well, first of all, on the Tenacity label, I don't see any of those prairie-type grasses on the label. So I don't really know what the safety is going to be on those particular grasses that you've got. Looks like the germination percentages are pretty nice. You could ask your seed provider if they've got any experience using Tenacity out there on those grasses. I'm going to guess it's going to be okay, but that's strictly a guess because none of those grasses are listed on their tolerant species, nor are they listed as species known to be susceptible to Tenacity injury. So I'm not sure if it's going to work or not, but you could sure try it on a small scale first. I wouldn't do it on the whole thing. And then if you do wait until post-emerge, you've got to wait until you've taken two cuttings or had at least 4 weeks after planting. So I have seen Tenacity used on a wide variety of species. I just don't know firsthand on those because they are not on the label, and it's not right to recommend anything that's off label. Thanks for the question, though, and good luck getting your grass going around your buildings. All right. Nelson sent in some samples here, and he said, all right, we're going to plant some pinto beans. We're going to double crop right after some irrigated wheat. Just curious what advice you've got, and also sent in some soil samples. So, Nelson, I looked at the soil samples. We're really, really short in micronutrients, and we're short in phosphorus, and also sulfur. You could use some sulfur. So P, S, and all the micros you'll need. Since your pH of your soil is 8, it's going to be tougher to make those available. Iron would be a great example. You probably see iron deficiency chlorosis out there. So putting some nutrients in that band will be good, but unfortunately with any kind of bean, you can't really put a lot in furrow. So you might have to fertigate some in just to get them down in the ground. As far as weed control in dry beans, normally we're doing something like in a no-till situation, Spartan Elite, which is Spartan plus Dual, or Spartan Charge plus Prowl. If you're doing some tillage, Trifluralin plus Spartan, maybe even, well, probably not Metribuzin here, but Trifluralin plus Spartan's a good mix. Post-emerge, we like Veristo, which is Raptor plus Basagran. And then consider foliar fungicide in the early reproductive stages. And with naturals, I do like inoculant at planting. I think that really helps. I like using something like MegaGrow, which is a plant growth regulator in the vegetative stages. It really helps improve root growth. And then I like something like Amass. Once you get to bloom, once you get to full bloom, that's something that can help hold more flowers on and improve pollination as well. Hey, good luck to you, Nelson. If you've got other questions that come up during the season, please let us know. Thanks for listening to our program today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio.